This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
It's a summer solstice today, isn't it?
Exactly.
Wow.
Wait, wait. Ty, get some summer, some summertime music. We got all this drinking music.
Well, what do you say summertime music?
Well, I mean, there's songs out here.
Because I added two summertime, kind of summertime songs. I think summertime songs, yeah.
What are they?
Well, one of them's Chattahoochee.
That's a good summer.
I think that's a summer song.
There's a song out there that we'll get it in here today. That summertime is the name of the hook of the song.
Yeah.
It's summertime, It is summertime.
You know, Justin Timberlake did a song called Summer Love. I could throw
Justin
in.
Who?
JT, not James who? Taylor, the actual JT of Justin Timberlake.
No, the original JT, the only JT is James Taylor.
Well, let's pump the brakes a little bit, yeah. But that's all right. That's a conversation for another day. Maybe next week during the summer topics here, summer segments here on the Morning Rush.
The summer topic series. That's what we need to call it.
Yeah, just have it a series. So, because I'm actually having some fun with and putting some stuff together.
That's it right there. No. The summer topic series is what we need to call that. We need to make it real highbrow.
Do we need to make it a 10-part series?
The summer topic series. We need to make it sound really serious. Today, we'll discuss the best gas station chicken strips.
Yeah, exactly.
On the summer topic series on the Morning Rush.
Yeah, eat your heart out, ESPN 30 for 30.
Can't you hear our voice guy say, the summer topic series. Today, we discuss corn dogs.
I guess I need... Should I send it to him and say, okay, I need you to say this in the form of Jim Nance as he is welcoming in everybody to the Masters. Yeah. Like, that's how he needs to say it and start it off.
The summer topic series. See, nobody else in radio is up this morning, so they won't hear that. But don't put that in the podcast. They'll steal it.
Yeah. So we got a bunch of thieves around here, a bunch of savages in this town.
That's too specific. We got that. We're claiming that. That's ours.
Yep. Too late. We're the ones. It's going to be us.
The summer topic series coming to a radio near you.
And it starts next week, and we'll make it happen. we'll get a bunch of fun topics together and have some fun with it.
No, it is. I was like outside just doing stuff around the yard and fixing stuff and just piddling. Cause I didn't want to be inside till like 9:30 last night because I had enough daylight. Realized my irrigation system was all messed up. Didn't know it, just piddling, because I didn't want to be inside.
So you stayed outside?
Yeah. It was just too nice.
Your irrigation system was out?
Yeah.
Oh, hate when that happens.
You got to. Yeah.
Well, but summertime, it feels good to be outside. Might as well take advantage.
It's going to be 90-something degrees. Got to get the yard watered. Got to get the plants watered.
Yeah, geez,
it's going to burn up. Yeah, it's going to be 95. Don't want anything to burn up.
But you got a pool. Shouldn't you be hanging out next to that?
But I would want the flowers next to the pool to burn up.
What are your kids doing? Have them help out. Have them go out there and water. Isn't that what a dad's supposed to do?
Oh, no. Dad, that would interrupt the Fortnite tournament,
Well, just...
I mean, come on.
I mean, they need to... They take breaks, right? But not to water flowers?
Not to water flowers. If I ask my youngest, she's good about... She wants to help with anything. My oldest, he thinks you are,
Punishing him.
Punishing him. What am I? Your servant? Yes. Yes, you are.
If you ask him for the basic chore.
Yes.
Man, tough crowd. That's okay.
That is why you are here.
That's right.
To mow the yard, to fetch what we need.
Would you trust him with watering the flowers?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Then maybe because that's also the one thing you got to factor into. Do you really want your kids doing these chores for you? And something as important as watering the flowers.
No.
Do you not have a sprinkler?
That's what I'm saying. The irrigation system to take care of that.
So that was broken.
The apparently the power had went out and the controller had lost its programming. Had to reprogram that.
You could do it the old fashioned way and just have you a sprinkler that you hook up to the hose.
No, that's too much. I've done that. I used to do it the old fashioned way, And then I called Greenview and I fixed that. So
yeah. Well, by the way, JT just tweeted in this morning. He's up early with us, but he says irrigation system is upper class 1% term for the sprinkler system, which I will say, JT, when Tommy said irrigation system, I kind of had an idea of what it was, but I was like, okay, well, maybe it means more than just a sprinkler system. Mm-hmm. Maybe it, but then now it's explained to me.
Sprinkler system.
Why not just call it a sprinkler system?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, it's a fancy
the technical term irrigation.
Irrigation system does sound a lot better.
Yeah.
So I would have used that term too, but there you go.
Part of the summer topic series here on the Morning Rush.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. There's only one of us in this room that has an irrigation system, by the way.
I bet they have one at your apartment.
They do, but yeah, it doesn't benefit me though.
What keeps your yard lush and green?
Oh, because that's what
Rowdy will have a place to take a dump.
Yeah, exactly. It's a circle of life. He's able to provide fertilizer.
So he can provide
the
fertilizer.
Yeah, well, everybody
to
wins.
Help keep the yard lush and green.
Yeah. Well, they even have flower beds at our apartment. Doesn't look that great.
Speaking
too.
Of dump, there was a news dump yesterday right after we left the air.
I'm telling you, yesterday had more news coming out from the Hill than I've seen in quite some time.
So Connor Nolan's not going to play football, and Trey Schapp was right. That all happened after we left the air yesterday.
Yeah. Essentially. With Justice Hill not playing basketball.
That's exactly what happened.
I mean, that's incredible.
I hope he dropped the mic or took a lap or did something. Trey Schapp, I'm talking about.
Yes. Well, I don't know how I would have.
Yeah. You'd still be taking...
I'd be quote tweeting all the people that yelled at me and just... I'd be so petty about it. Absolutely petty about
that
it.
That actually would be entertaining to watch.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe he didn't do it. I would have been all over that. But
has he? I don't follow him.
No, course, yeah, I do, but he's...
Nothing? Radio silence.
Nothing.
That's a shame. Come on, Trey.
Maybe that's the way he wants to do it.
Maybe he's golf.
Yeah. The only thing that he was talking about actually
Take
was...
Take your bow.
Yesterday, tweet about golf.
Take your bow.
Yeah, I would too. But, I mean, kudos to him because that was something that was so controversial when it happened. And everybody was up in arms. I can't believe this. How dare you? You know how impact you're affecting his family and da-da-da-da.
Clearly something had been in the works since the end of May. This was, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. And something must have been happening because I remember when it all went down, nothing came out from his family. His dad didn't say anything. Fitzhill, it wasn't like Fitzhill came out and says, that's absolutely false.
No, they just took
it's like
Justice took a picture of where he was at. Who knows if that was even at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a weird thing. And when he comes out and he says that he is no longer going to be playing basketball at the U of A, some people have wondered, okay, does that mean he can still maybe possibly come and play football? Would that be something that Chad Morris is interested in? Is that something he even would be interested in? Trying to enter the transfer portal and all that. But I think the real sad thing about this, and of course, hopefully Justice Hill finds some place to be successful at in athletics, whether it's football or basketball. But the whole sad thing in all of this, and this is just how my mind works, is that Justice Hill's scholarship and recruitment took precedent over Isaac McBride. And now that player of Justice Hill is not even going to be on campus. So it was all for naught, essentially. Just all for naught. So disappointing that ended up happening, but I guess that opens up, once again, another scholarship for Eric Musselman and the Razorback basketball
team. And as we told you a few weeks ago, Khalil Garland's not going to be on the roster. And
that's
that
right.
Has, I don't know if the university's made that official, but I guess
The website roster doesn't have him on there,
but we learned that a couple of weeks ago that was going to be the case due to just some ongoing medical issues. So Khalil Garland, there's another spot that we'd kind of been factoring in into the scholarship math.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Musselman's pretty much put anyone that had been on the team on notice that hadn't already left that, you know. I like the vibe when you're, this is the culture you need to keep everybody on edge, busting their tail to keep their job. You know, we talked about his program was going to be a lot more like Petrino's from the standpoint of pressing and pushing and some of these, maybe not yelling.
Mental toughness.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we're starting to see some of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The transition of it all. Because I know that was something also that, you know, Chad Morris has maybe not to the same extent of Bobby Petrino, Eric Musselman, but definitely having to change stuff on the football side of things. We've seen how tough that's been to transition from that. But luckily for Eric Musselman, though, is that say what you want about Mike Anderson and whatnot, but his players, they weren't a bunch of softies. I mean, they were actually had some tough guys on there. And so I don't think the transition will be that crucial or that brutal of a transition. But still, nonetheless, Arkansas basketball seems to be weeding out and making some moves and trying to get their roster and Musselman's roster in place. And every single day, I'm just curious to see what this roster is going to end up looking like once the season starts, because there could be some players on there that are on there now that may not be there then. I mean, it's ever changing, ever moving.
Yep.
And so it's going to be fascinating to see how that goes out, because we're actually going to talk with Corey Williams, the new assistant Razorback coach for the basketball team here around 7:30, and talk to him about his new job and his. I'd be curious to see what his responsibilities are, just kind of what he's going to be focusing on as an assistant coach, because we don't really know the dynamic of assistant coaches under Musselman.
I tell you, he was the first official hire as an assistant coach. And the thing I found interesting getting to visit with Coach Musselman, there was no like prior relationship. They didn't know each other is the way it's explained to me. And I find that interesting. I want to discuss that, because generally in the coaching business, that's not how it goes.
You always get your guy in there.
You get someone that you know, like, and trust. The old know, like, trust. Or there's some kind of, well, he hasn't worked for me, but he worked for someone who I worked for in the past. There's some kind of
connection.
Direct connection. Connect the dot. And I'm just interested in how this came about, being the fact that you were hire number one, and there was no, you know, and that just gives me the indication of what Musselman's trying to do here and the kind of staff he's trying to build. He has a certain framework in mind of who he's trying to put on board, and that was what he was going after.
Yep.
So what's this guy got that Musselman really wants?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's some other things that Coach Musselman said I find fascinating about involving player input into some of these coaching hires. What kind of, you know, getting, not that they're going to have some kind of like, you know, tribal vote like you do on Survivor to figure out who you're going to hire, but he involves the players in the process.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's, I mean, at least publicly, we've never been told that that's going to be done, and Musselman's talked about that openly.
Yeah, he's embraced it even.
Well, I mean, it's his idea.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, is you just don't, if you haven't heard about it, or at least publicly, he has.
I think that's a little more of the professional basketball background coming over into the college job. That's probably how it's done in the pros. Mm. You don't hire assistants in the NBA unless the players want that person on board. Players run the league. So, I mean, that's a little bit of some of that professional courtesy, if you will, coming over to the college side.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Well, we had to cut him off a little bit yesterday because we were up against a commercial break, but he has called back in when his ears were burning about Daniel Gafford. Michael's in Stuttgart on the phone lines. What's going on, Michael?
Guys, I got to tell you, the difference between me and everybody else, that was my fault yesterday. Yeah, that was very kind of you guys to put me in there and let me talk as long as I did. I called between two interviews. I should have known that. I'm not up, you know, regularly enough to know what you guys are doing every day. So I want to go ahead and say that's my fault, because I take personal responsibility instead of blaming somebody else. I realize you guys gave me all the latitude in the world.
That's very uncommon in today's time.
Yes, it is.
Well, no, guys. Hey, I'm no fool. I know what happened, and I very much appreciate it. Guys, I think Daniel, and I want to get your opinion on this, both of you guys. I think Daniel actually got caught in the middle and did the absolute worst thing he could have done, because do you think if he would have left his freshman year, I mean, he definitely, just on the potential and what everybody was saying and hearing, he wouldn't have won the lottery, but he would have went in the first round, certainly better than he went last night, wouldn't you say?
See, that's where I'm leaning towards, Michael. I mean, there's no guarantees and it's always going to be hindsight, but I kind of agree with you, yeah.
But it's not close, is it? I mean, do you think it's close, Tommy?
You're talking about after the freshman year? It'd have been much higher than 38th, yes.
Oh, there's no doubt.
It'd have been top 20, you know. I don't know.
As long as he'd been inside 30, you know, that's when you get the guaranteed money, and that's what you're looking for. That's what everybody's looking for. You get a little bit of stability and, you know, start from somewhere. But like I said, I think this could actually help him. But, you know, if he would have came back for another year, and I know he was never going to do that, but you're talking about a professional analytic coach. I mean, one of the best coaches in the country. I mean, you think about the coaches up on the hill. Really, they got A and A plus coaches all the way. One guy's proven, and one guy. I think the best guy is Chad Morris. But you know what Van Horn's done, and I think Musselman, you know, just underneath Morris. So you got big time coaches up there. But no, if he would have came back and had that kind of coaching and that kind of structure, I think he really could have showed what this guy's capable of doing.
I agree with you. I think if he'd come back
for another year, he's a first rounder next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, he does. I mean, he gets stuck in the middle, guys, and he ends up at 38 when the guy's got so much more talent. But you know he's going to have the fire and drive now, because he's going to have to, because that's a man's league and they play a man's game. And I'm certainly sure he didn't think he was going to end up being drafted where he was.
Well, and that was the thing, because we're actually going to be joined by Corey Williams, assistant coach to the Razorback basketball team, later in the show. But that was the thing, too, when you're talking about the assistants that Eric Musselman has hired and the staff that he surrounded himself with. I mean, these are guys that have so much NBA experience, or at least professional basketball experience, that there's no reason why it wouldn't lead me to believe that with all of them surrounding Gafford for an entire year, they could work on his craft and say, all right, this works in the NBA. This is what they do in the NBA. This is how they handle in the NBA. Something that Mike Anderson, his staff, could not provide. And that alone, I think, would have just been able to really elevate Daniel Gafford's game if he was able to stay for one more year. So it just makes me wonder, is Daniel Gafford, I don't think he ever is going to have this mentality, but is he ever always going to be looking back and saying, man, if I could have just stayed one more year at Arkansas under Musselman, could I have really elevated my draft stock and really gotten a chance to maybe even be a lottery pick if I had stayed for one more year? It just makes me wonder if that's ever going to weigh on his mind.
Well, it could weigh on his mind, but it doesn't need to weigh on his mind. It's a lot easier said than done, because it doesn't matter anymore. And he's got a platform now and an ability to do whatever he wants. He can do as much as he wants just because it's not starting for him. I mean, if he used that as an excuse, then he was never going to make it anyway. And I actually think getting underdrafted is really going to help him, because I think you give him a little bit of money, you put him in a position he's not supposed to be in, you draft him a little high, because that's been his whole life. It's going to be hard now. I think he's going to respond, because he's got some pride, man. You know, he's a grown man. He wants the money, too. I think he's got the ability to go do it. I think he's got a better chance now than he did then. And I say that in being drafted where he was. But, you know, anybody would want the guaranteed money. Guys, I just want to ask you this, because I don't honestly know. What happened with Justice Hill? Why didn't he want to play for Musselman? Why didn't he be a part of the basketball team?
Or was it the other way around?
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know if it was...
Oh, wow.
If it was a situation where... Because we've seen Musselman do this, at least with some other players, saying, hey, you might be best served if you continued your career elsewhere.
He's been pruning the roster pretty frequently here lately.
Yeah. So that's what I think happened.
Yeah, I didn't think he had... No, I think 100%. You know, I didn't think he'd have the shears out after Hill. I thought he was a lot better player than that, but it makes sense. He puts himself in the portal, but maybe he wants to play football. If he's good enough to play football, maybe he's not. Maybe he sounds like he's just not quite good enough an athlete to play at Arkansas. He's a wonderful young man, and maybe he's a fit somewhere else, and maybe, you know, like you said, they got all the wide receivers, but, you know, I never thought of it that way, but it certainly makes sense now. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
You taught me something. I'm learning something from listening to you guys every morning. That's two mornings in a row. So you gave me grace yesterday, and today you taught me something.
You had been learning stuff for years if you had listening in the morning instead of that afternoon stuff, you know. Instead of teaching you'd have been learning here, you know.
There you go.
All right.
You guys have a great week.
Hey, appreciate it, Michael. Appreciate the phone call, man. Because that was a good question about Michael about Justice Hill, and because that's at least how I took it. Now, I'm not saying that's for sure correct or that's how it went down, but I will say that this whole story with Justice Hill since the very beginning has just been a strange one. And as far as, you know, him and his family and the dealings that they had, and then he was the only player that was committed to play for Arkansas for the basketball team in the upcoming season. And even if you heard Eric Musselman talking, Tommy, and I don't know if we've ever discussed this off the air, but in his interviews or in his press conferences, whatever it may be, Justice never really even came up.
Wasn't part of the conversation.
Didn't come up. He didn't discuss him. He didn't mention him or anything. And so when you really look back on it, Eric Musselman said he watched a lot of film on the current roster before he even arrived. Before he was even named head coach, he watched a lot of film. He got in there.
Well, he had to watch practice film to see anything on Justice Hill.
Yeah, and he goes in and he sees a lot of these guys. He talks with a lot of these guys. He is going in, and like, because Nick Mace, I think it was a couple weeks ago when he was on, he came in and said this. He's like, that's the thing about Musselman right now, is that it may be considered cutthroat. It may be considered, at least some to some people, uncomfortable in how he is just pruning out this roster and making these major changes. Some kids are staying, some kids are going, bringing in new transfer, whatever it is. But what the mentality shows is that Musselman wants to win, and he wants to win now. Yep. And if he feels like there are current players on the roster that's not going to help him in that crusade, they are going to find somewhere else to play. And if there's somebody out there that's able and capable of coming in and helping right away to help him win, he's going to do whatever it takes to get them in right now, because he's not waiting around. This isn't a three-year rebuilding plan. He wants to win right now. And nothing against Justice Hill. I think he's a great athlete. Tommy, I know you've watched him. You've seen his athleticism. I mean, he's a great athlete. But I would that would lead me to believe that Musselman saw his film, saw, I've talked to him, just went through all of that and said, you know what, for what you do and what you're able to do, you just don't really fit with what we're trying to accomplish
here. And that doesn't mean Justice Hill can't play college football or basketball. It just may not be at the Southeastern Conference level.
Yeah.
He may have to find an opportunity at a non-Power 5 school or a different Power 5 conference. So it just may not be a fit here. As much as you want to, you grow up, your dad's a coach at the University of Arkansas, you grow up in the state, it's your dream, you know, sometimes all your dreams don't come true. You know, it's just the way it is. To sit in Disney World.
Well, he had been committed to Arkansas forever. I mean, it has been
since eighth grade.
Yeah, it had been forever. And it just makes me wonder, too.
And this isn't a problem if Mike Anderson keeps his job.
No, because he's on the team for sure, 100%.
This isn't an issue if Mike Anderson doesn't get fired. Mike Anderson being dismissed is created a whole new set of circumstances for Justice Hill.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. It's no different than if a new boss comes into a company ABC out here. There's going to be employees that stay and employees that go.
Got to trim people the fat.
There's just employees that are fits with the new philosophy and the new system and the new, just like there is with a coach, because the new guy is going to have a way of wanting to do things, just like Coach Musselman's got a new way of wanting to do things. There's a reason there was a change, because the old way wasn't working.
That's right.
And the reason it wasn't working was the parts and pieces all aren't there to make the new system work. So you got to put new things in place.
Mm-hmm. And Musselman's doing that, and he's doing that at a rapid rate. I mean, because we've made the jokes before. We don't know what this roster is going to look like by the time the first game comes around.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Because, listen, when you're a coach, I would much rather have a coach come right in, and instead of trying to keep everything together and keep everybody happy, he's like, well, I didn't recruit you. I didn't offer you a scholarship. I didn't do that. But you know what? We're going to ride out for the next 3 years because that's what we're going to do.
Because I'm a nice guy.
No, your job is not to be nice guy. This is D1 big boy college basketball. And when you come in there, I want you to establish yourself, your culture, your philosophy, your strategy, your roster, your players. Establish it all right off the bat. Make it known. That's what great coaches do. It was the same. If you look at previous great examples at Arkansas, look at what Bobby Petrino did. Did he wait around for 2 or 3 years before he started really getting hit? You know, hey, well, you were here before, so we're just going to honor. No, he's like, hey, if you're good enough, you're going to play. If not, you're not going to play, or you're going to have to find somewhere else to go. That's just the mentality that they had.
Good enough or get going.
That's right. I'm going to recruit players that are better than you, and I'm going to try to replace you with better players because I want to win. We want to win. This team needs to win. It's the same mentality, and that's the mentality you want out of your great coaches. And with Eric Musselman and the staff that he's put around him, that's the vibe that I'm getting right now, is that he is rolling in. He's got guys with professional basketball experience across the board. He himself has plenty of college basketball and professional basketball experience. He knows what it takes to win. He knows what it takes to get guys developed, to get them to play their level 5 basketball. He understands that. So when he comes in and if he sees something that's, hey, this isn't going to work out, this is not going to fit, I'm going to move on. We're going to move on, and we're going to make sure that we wish you the best of luck to try to get you to move on with your career. That's what he's doing right now. And I hope that he continues to do that, because that usually bodes for a good sign of trying to establish yourself as the Razorback basketball coach.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Got a question for you.
All right.
Will either the Razorback football program or basketball program, respectively, be impacted at all with Connor Nolan deciding no longer to play for football or Justice Hill no longer playing basketball for Arkansas? Will either of those two programs be impacted at all with those two players no longer playing in them?
Where would you have said Connor Nolan is on the depth chart? No better than third right now?
No better than third, right?
Because Hicks, Starkle, and Starkle hadn't even taken part in a practice yet, and you'd have him at two,
yeah,
right?
But he didn't transfer in to be a third or fourth string.
Right. So, and maybe it was, maybe that's unfair. Maybe Connor Nolan's 2A I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But he's certainly not the starter. And you feel like, well, if Connor's not going to play, there is some impact there because he did start and win a game last year. It was against Tulsa, but he did start and win a game.
Only one of two quarterbacks to do it last year.
There is zero impact with Justice Hill not playing basketball. None.
So you think there's a slight...
But you're talking about moving forward.
Yeah. So is it...
You're not talking about...
Is it a slight difference in football then with Connor Nolan not being there?
Yeah, I think there is.
Just a little slight? Okay.
Because you're taking someone out of the quarterback room that spent a year in there learning, could transfer some of that knowledge and be support and help for Ben Hicks, for a KJ Jefferson coming in to show him the ropes. I mean, yeah, I think you're taking someone away that's a seasoned trained quarterback that came out of a great high school system that gets what they're trying to do. And even if he can't be the one that's out there first, if Ben Hicks is that person, this is someone that I think can still help the football team in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, because I'm looking at both players. And obviously we know what Connor Nolan's done in his 1 year at the University of Arkansas, both in football and both in baseball. He did start that one game against Tulsa, like you mentioned. He was a guy that was constantly asked for when the other two quarterbacks weren't performing well. We all get that. We all understand that. But with Justice Hill, I mean, he didn't even play. I mean, he didn't even do anything. He didn't even play in a game. He didn't even make it to to campus, essentially, for the upcoming year.
Yeah.
And
never took a dribble in Bud Walton Arena in a game.
I know you refereed one of his football games. Did you ever referee a basketball game he played in? Okay. Yeah. So you have much better knowledge than I did. Did you see him and say, this guy could play for Arkansas basketball next year?
I never thought that his size at that point really, you looked at him and said, there's a guy that looks like an, I mean, you see guys and you say, there's a guy that physically looks like a Division I Power 5 SEC player. Every one of those guys I've ever watched play basketball stood out physically. See, I mean, it just seems like. You know, now that's not to say there's not the exceptions with the smaller guards that.
I mean, Anton Beard was a small guy, and he was able to make the roster.
Correct. I mean, there are the exceptions to that, but it just seems like more often than not, those guys physically just stand out a little more. Maybe that's because you're thinking of threes, fours, and fives. You know, guys like Daniel Gafford, who, because of his frame, just stood out. But. No, at that point, no. In basketball, you didn't say, well, there's a guy there's an SEC-level player. Because generally, players like that, it's not just the size. You look up on the scoreboard, and they've got 42 up, or they've got 28 up, or they've got, you know, some kind of number up that they dominated the game. Night in, night out. Every night. And I didn't always see that from him in the games that I watched.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I wanted to ask you, because I know that
football,
you've seen him.
In football, I thought he was a lot more of a dominant player, take over the game kind of player.
So do you think that if he decided to play football for Arkansas, could he see the field?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, because I don't know how to compare him with, first of all, he's not going to be your starting quarterback.
No,
so
not
the question
at all.
Is then where else could he go? He was a quarterback in high school. Now that doesn't mean he has to be the quarterback to play. So where else could he play? And you think you automatically think wide receiver. The guy's got the skills, I believe, to do to be a part of this team somehow. I mean, he was the Gatorade Player of the Year, right? They don't just hand those out.
I've never seen him play football, so I don't know honestly if he's an SEC caliber athlete on the football field, or could he become one? Because obviously, being a true freshman, it's not easy for any true freshman, even if they're 5-star athletes, to come right in and just be a dominant force. You see it every so often, but it's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he would be able to help out with the football program in year one, but year two, year three, some development, put at the right position, able to see the field, able to have those opportunities. You know, who knows? But at the same time, though, with Connor Nolan switching to baseball and that scholarship's now available for Chad Morris and the football team, is that something you even would want to do to give that extra scholarship that you have to Justice Hill? Is he good enough, or do you need him badly enough to give him that scholarship?
You would have to. What I want Chad Morris to do is not just give it to Justice Hill because he's from Little Rock Christian or his dad used to coach at Arkansas or any of those factors. If Justice Hill is the best available player on the transfer portal, then you consider it. But you don't give a scholarship to the best available player. That's what I want. I want a coach that gives it to the best available guy out there. Period.
And if it's Justice Hill,
if it's him, fine. If it's someone from Georgia or Alabama or Oklahoma, better.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's also about addressing needs too.
Exactly.
And
because that scholarship may be needed for a linebacker,
yeah,
or a defensive back,
or an offensive lineman.
He could play DB. Played it in high school. It's a possibility.
Good point.
I figure you'd be more assertive saying he could play at this level after watching him.
Well, I mean, I only saw him once in the playoffs this last year. I didn't in football. You don't see guys as many times as you do in basketball.
Yeah,
it's not as many games.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think he's a lot more apt to be able to get, and this is weird because you say the SEC football is a little harder than SEC basketball, even though basketball's improved. But
there's 11 positions on either side of the line. There's more opportunity to play now.
Correct.
Obviously, he's not going to be an offensive lineman, defensive lineman. He's not going to be a line. I mean, you can start eliminating certain spots that aren't going to be considered.
But if you're Chad Morris, with a guy with that athleticism, I think you could find a position for him. And I know the wide receiver depth, what you recruited this past year, you got a lot.
But listen to what you just said there. You can find a position for him. That's just, you know, when you start having to find a position for somebody, that really a fit?
Tommy, some guys aren't natural to a certain position. Darren McFadden played quarterback in high school. What did he play in college? Played running back. Mm-hmm. Like, some guys aren't naturally gifted and naturally thrown. This is the position you're going to play throughout your career. Some guys transition.
Well,
Blaine Toll's an athlete right now that can play defensive end, tight end, in a number of different positions. Some guys they're fit in that position.
In high school, most often, when there's one guy that's the best athlete, he's generally made the quarterback. Even if he's not the fastest guy, then the best athlete generally becomes the quarterback.
And that's what Justice was. He started at wide receiver and DB, and then he moved to quarterback because he was the best athlete that Little Christian had.
But it's because you're the best playmaker.
But it's also about if you're Chad Morris too, though. I don't know if you are in a position right now. You don't have the clout right now.
Or the luxury.
Or the luxury to take a risk to where it's like, okay, I got this guy here. I don't know what position he'll be best for, so we're just going to kind of move him around and see where we can find a fit for and give that kid a scholarship. I just don't know if Chad Morris had the program in a better situation, a better position, where they weren't needing as much help as they humanly possibly could get and as much depth as humanly possibly they could get, I think that he might be able to take a risk on that. But the last thing you want to do is have a scholarship for this guy, and if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't pan out, or if he can't find the field, looking back and say, man, I really could have used this scholarship for something else that we desperately needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's nothing against Justice Hill.
The guy could contribute.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason for us to believe, at least maybe after a year or two, that he could develop into being an SEC caliber athlete just from all the reports I've heard and all the people that have watched him. But you also have to be realistic about the situation that Chad Morris is in right now. And the situation he's in right now is that it's you have to win now. You have to get the best players in right now. Is Justice Hill the best player available that you can bring in right now, give him a scholarship, and improve upon that? Or is it an offensive lineman? Or do you want to save that scholarship? I don't know really where Chad Morris's mindset is at in this regard.
And this needs to be pointed out. When he was recruiting him to play on the football team, it was when he was on a basketball scholarship. So it was really no burden on Chad Morris's back when it comes to trying to get Justice on the football team. Now, with him no longer having a basketball scholarship at the U of A and the possibility of Chad giving him a football scholarship, that puts more of a burden and more of a decision and more of a dilemma on the football staff, because they are actually having to sacrifice. It's not really sacrificing if he turns out to be a good football player, but that is definitely more of a burden and dilemma that this football staff faces recruiting Justice to play for the football team, because you would be giving up one of your scholarships this time. Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, this was a conversation that came up at SEC Media Days.
Mm-hmm.
There was some social media, you know, news out there. There's a tweet from Little Rock and Trey Schaap about, well, it wasn't from Trey, it was actually from Justin Akery about something Trey had said on the show.
Yes.
And it blew up, and Justice took a picture or sent out a picture of him in the practice facility. But here we are 3 weeks later, and what was reported then is now happening.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what was, because we surmised that something was said at Media Days. This wasn't just made up.
Yeah. I know Trey Schaap. Trey Schaap wouldn't just make something up for the sake of it. Yeah.
So obviously something was
alluded to.
Uttered, muttered, said.
Said in the bathroom.
Overheard in passing. Something.
Yeah.
And now it's just all come to a head here.
And it makes me wonder, too, why does Justice Hill still hoping to have a spot on the basketball team at that point?
Sure.
Like, did he not know for sure that he wasn't getting one? Or was he trying to work something out? I don't know.
Well, and Musselman continues to work that transfer market, if you will.
Yeah.
Looking for guys.
Free agency.
And I'm all for it.
Hey, win at all cost, win now.
Win and win now.
That's right.
That seems to be the motto up there.
If there's an upgrade of a player in that transfer portal, get him. Do whatever it takes to get him. It's all about winning, that's for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Football season is just around the corner, and there are plenty of people that are excited about it, but there's also a lot of people excited about the Razorback basketball season and new head coach Eric Musselman and what he's going to be able to do this season. We're going to talk more about Razorback basketball as we welcome in Corey Williams, the assistant basketball coach for the University of Arkansas. Good morning, Coach. How you doing? And welcome to Arkansas.
Good morning. I'm doing well. Recruiting. And, Coach Musselman has us working hard and trying to build a program.
You know, so I was at a function where Coach Musselman was speaking a few weeks ago, and this was shortly after you had been announced as joining his staff, and he made mention that you guys had no prior relationship, no connection, which is, in coaching circles, very uncommon. Generally, somebody hires somebody they had worked with in the past. There's some kind of direct connection. How did this come about? Because it's kind of unusual the way he was describing the two of you guys getting together.
Well, I tell people it was all God, because we have a mutual friend of ours that recommended me. And Coach Musselman called, and I told him what I could do for him. I would work hard. I'd be loyal. I'd be a guy of high character. And I'll always be promoting him. And we talked some more, and our friendship grew, and it's been wonderful. It has been absolutely wonderful. He is an unbelievable person, more importantly, and he's a fantastic coach. He knows how to coach, and I'm excited to be a part of his staff.
Well, Coach, that's actually going to be my next question of when you decided to be an assistant coach at Arkansas under Eric Musselman. What was it about him and his coaching style, his philosophy, his strategy? What about it all made you interested and made you decide that this was the best place for you?
Well, you know, I watched him at Nevada, and I watched the success that he had at Nevada, and never knew who he, knew him personally, but I always admired how hard they played and how offensive gifted they were as a team. They played unselfishly. They played together, and I liked that. And then, once I got a chance to talk to him, I could see why they were so successful, because he's very passionate about what he does. He really loves basketball. This is his gift. And, I mean, it's 24-7 for him, you know, even though he spends time with his family. But he's always thinking, and he's so creative. And that's the thing that's really been great for me, because he forces you to be creative in your mind and think outside the box. And I'm certainly enjoying just being around him and learning from him and developing even more stronger friendship as a coach.
Your collegiate playing career was at Oklahoma State from, what, 88 to 92, which would have meant you played for Coach Sutton for the last part of your career. And obviously now you're going to be conducting practices on a court that bears his name. Have you had a chance to talk with Coach Sutton at all? And you know, what from your playing time with him and being around Coach Sutton helps get you to the point where you're here at Arkansas? What did you learn from him that'll maybe help you here at Arkansas?
Well, you know, Coach Sutton coached me my last 2 years. And, you know, when I spoke at his retirement at Oklahoma State, I got on the – when I spoke to the people, I told them that I was his first black child. Now, it's a lot of other African-American young men that he coached that were probably different with that. But I had the mic, so that's what I said. And, you know, Coach Sutton was a unique person. And he treated me like I was his son. On every birthday, every single birthday before he got ill, he would call, and he wouldn't just say happy birthday, Corey. He would sing it to me. Now, you got to imagine the great Eddie Sutton on the phone saying happy birthday to one of his kids, okay? And he did that for me, and he just always told me, said, love your bride. And I would always call him when I was a head coach and say, Coach, how did you get your teeth to play so hard? He said, you know, you'll figure it out. You know how to do it. And that voice, you know how to do it, Corey. You'll be fine. And he just taught me how to be disciplined and give 110%. You know, that's what he required. You couldn't give less than that when you played for him. And he was an awesome person. And, his son and I have a great relationship. And, you know, he's been a blessing in my life, a true blessing to my life and my family's life. And I'll always be indebted to Coach for that.
Speaking with Corey Williams, the Razorback basketball assistant coach, right now on the Morning Rush. All right, Coach, the roster that you currently have with the University of Arkansas, it seems to be there's still some guys you're looking at and recruiting for and trying to get this team all together. But as far as when you came in on campus and the guys that were already on campus, how have you felt like they've responded to you and responded to the transition from Eric Musselman? How do you feel like everything's going with that, with the guys you have currently on the roster?
We are certainly moving in the right direction. They responded fantastic. You know, they are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And, you know, and Coach has done a real good job of establishing a relationship with all those guys. And I mean, they understand that the consistency that they must have every day in practice, how hard they must perform. And, you know, Coach is just preaching to them, being professional, being vocal. That's the biggest thing right now that we're trying to do with this team is you know, they can communicate, but they responded well. They're excited to get in the gym. I think it's getting to that point already where, you know, they want to keep going, and we certainly can't keep going in practice. We only have a limited amount of hours that we can practice at this particular time, but it is getting better, and we got a long way to go, and Coach would certainly say that, but we certainly think it's headed in the right direction.
I found it interesting listening to Coach talk about kind of the way his style and when he was choosing assistants after that he was going to hire after you had joined the staff, that he involved the players in a conversation about maybe not individuals, but about personality traits and characteristics and things, you know, we're looking for in other assistants, that he wanted to involve players in those conversations. That's not stuff we've heard out of other previous head coaches. Maybe it's happened, maybe it hasn't, but that seemed to be more of a professional approach, more of a NBA type approach involving the players in the process. Give us more insight to maybe some changes in the way the culture's changing, involving the players and elevating the culture to more of a professional level culture here at Arkansas.
Well, one of the things that Coach emphasized to us as a staff, it's about these kids. And we have to be in tune with what these kids want and what they desire, what makes them tick. He does a fantastic job of getting into their head, asking them to explain themselves, and he takes that information and he utilized it for the betterment of our team. And, you know, I think it's awesome that, you know, this not just his team, he considers our team. This is our family. And so we're a family. We're connected. And he gives those guys input. He gives the coaching staff input. And those guys respect that. And so now you have a culture that allows guys to speak and say what they really mean versus holding it in and it coming out later. And I just think that's awesome. You know, I must say this about Coach Bussman. He reads more than probably any human being I ever met in my life. And I thought, you know, Coach Sutton ran a lot, but Coach Musselman is always forward-thinking. He's always getting ideas from other people, and he incorporates it in his game plan. And I just think it's cool if you're a father and you're a mother and you want your kid to go to a program where he'll be heard and a guy will push him, certainly University of Arkansas, Coach Musselman, is the place you need to be because that's who he is. And, you know, I certainly couldn't be more excited to be a part of our staff. I think we have a terrific staff. We all fit very well. We're different, but we fit. And so I'm excited to be a Razorback. I'm excited to get it going.
Well, one thing that you know is basketball. You've been around basketball for a very long time now, and obviously you're probably aware of the history of Razorback basketball by now and how it's very historical, but it's been a long period of time since Arkansas has even been able to make it to the Sweet 16. 1996 was the last time that they made it to that point, but given how the staff is coming together, given the setup, the foundation that's been laid, all the amenities that Arkansas has and everything you have going for you, do you believe that with everything going the way it's going now, Arkansas can be a program that not only competes to make it to Sweet 16s, but be a program that is nationally competitive for winning championships? Do you believe that can happen?
I absolutely do. I mean, they have the right person to get the job done, and Eric Musselman. They have the right guy. Listen, when I tell you he doesn't sleep, he's always thinking about the next play, the next move, the next recruiting move. With the resources that the Arkansas University has provided and the facilities, we feel like we are able to get kids into our program that will have truly a profound impact. And, you know, we have to go out and do our job. We have to work. We have to turn over every rock, every stone. We have to find those kids that maybe people don't think are very good. And then we got to get those kids that people know that are very good. And so certainly he'll be the guy to turn this program around, and we're excited to do that too. When I joined him, you know, we talked, and he has some personal goals that he want to achieve, and it's our job as a staff to make sure those goals are attained. We have to get quality basketball players here. You know, that's one thing Coach Sutton said a long time ago. As much as it is about the X and O, it's more about the Jimmys and Joes. And so we got to have some boys in here that can get to the basket, that can shoot it, that can, do some things that are impactful to the program. And certainly he is the guy in charge to get that done. I'm confident in that.
Hey, we'll get you out of here on this one. There's going to be some significant rule changes in college basketball this year. We've heard a lot from Coach about pace and space and the style he wants to play. The three-point line is going to get pushed back. There's over 20 rule changes this year. How do those rule changes affect the style and maybe some of the objectives and the things that Coach Musselman want to do? Is it help? Is it a hindrance? Is there going to have to be some changes in philosophy? How do the rule changes that go into place this next season affect Eric Musselman's brand of basketball?
Well, I don't think it affects it at all. I think what he does, he spreads people out anyway. The only difference is that guys have got to learn how to shoot a little bit further back from the three-point line. And we feel like we have guys who have some range. But as far as the spacing would be consistent as it was in Nevada. I just think that the rules are minimum at this point, and they are not something that we feel that would have an impact on our team. But because of this style, we run, we push the ball, we spread people out, and we want our guys to be able to attack off the dribble and you know, play a balanced game inside out, as well as penetrate and pitch. So I don't think those rules will affect us at all, but the challenge is to get guys to not step up to that old three-point line, but learn how to extend their range a little bit further, and we certainly feel like we got some guys to be able to do that.
Corey Williams, the assistant coach to the Razorback basketball program. Really appreciate you hopping on with us, Coach. Welcome to Arkansas once again, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road.
I'm excited to be a part of Coach Buckman's staff. Go home.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.